Hey now, welcome back, welcome in. Thanks for joining us one more time. Thanks for hitting the download button. I am Pastor Dave, sitting with me, Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.
This is where church culture meets pop culture. We talk entertainment news, current events, world news, geek news, all filtered through the lens of lifestyle Christianity. I had a couple of trailers drop this week. Should have asked you before we sat down if you've seen them. We got a new, our first real Justice League trailer, and a new one for trailer number two for Spider-Man Homecoming. Have you seen both?
Yeah. Do you think the Justice League trailer was done, or do you think it was like kind of a, you know, like a in process thing?
I know what you're asking. Unfortunately, yes, this was supposed to be the first official trailer. What we had seen previously was a sizzle reel or some footage that they showed at Comic-Con. Now, people had been describing it as a trailer, and it for all intents and purposes kind of was, but it wasn't, right? Yeah. That footage, we saw it, and I think everybody knows, hopefully knows what I'm talking about, the one that opens up with him standing there. He brings the people fish. He comes on the king tide, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the footage we got a few months ago that got everybody talking. They released at Comic-Con. That cannot really correctly be called a trailer. Mm-hmm. It was a sizzle reel, as they say, that they had released so they could show some footage at Comic-Con. I guess it was the San Diego Comic-Con. What we have seen this past week, or what was dropped Saturday of last week for us, is the first official trailer, which is long awaited and begs a lot of questions. One, because the film is due out in November, so this is a little late for a trailer, for an official trailer, but nonetheless, we got it. It's what everybody's been waiting on. We want a real trailer, and we got it. So, well, before I offer anything I have to say about it, what are your thoughts on it? You've obviously got some because you've already asked the right kind of questions, and I know where you're going with that.
It's just kind of disappointing, just the level that it was at. It doesn't seem like it's a finished product,
right?
It seems like it's just something that they, you know, and I imagine what's happened is they've gone through, they've done the whole movie, and then they decided, okay, well, this movie dropped and didn't do so good, so we're gonna go back and redo this a little bit. And then another movie dropped, and, oh, well, we're going to have to change this up a little bit. Hmm. And it just seems like there's too many folks that are involved in it, and now it's late in the game, and they're trying to, you know.
It doesn't know what it wants to be.
Right. It just doesn't seem polished at all.
Well, some of what you're picking up on, I was curious to say if you were going to specify this or not, but I will. Either you noticed it consciously and just haven't said it, or you've noticed it unconsciously, which is why you're feeling the way you feel. Yeah. The CG is horrible.
Yeah.
There's too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
The entire trailer looked like a video game.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a trailer for a video game. If it was a video game, it would look amazing.
Right.
For a movie with real life flesh and blood people, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like one big green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the entire thing is made with computers and not even done well.
Right. Do you miss those days when, like, you'd have the creatures that would come out and they'd be, you know, an obvious costume?
Practical effects.
Yeah. You know, I miss that. I'm just seeing that.
To a degree. You know, there are times when it's done really well.
Mm-hmm.
Other times when even in the old school, it could be done poorly and it still held a certain you'd have a certain affectation for it, I guess. But
like Godzilla, the old Godzillas. You knew that wasn't a giant lizard, but you know.
I don't know that's the best example, but yeah.
I always thought Godzilla was cool, even though he was smashing a little scale
model. Well, there's
model.
Just something, no matter how good it is, no matter how good your computer effects are, there's still something a little intangible, a little off of it, off. What do they call it? The uncanny valley? Where the brain or the mind can pick up on those little things that it just doesn't feel right. The cyborg CG was the worst.
Yeah.
Like when he first popped up on the screen and was talking.
There's no reason for that.
It just looked horrible. Well, now, one thing you can go to, and this is where you're kind of to your question, you know, you're like, well, is it finished or what is it? It's not uncommon. And when you get early footage, sometimes even in trailers, to get things that are unfinished, that still need a little more post-production or polish on them, I almost want to give them credit for that and go, okay, well, maybe we're seeing some unfinished CG and some things like that. The problem is, for me, why that doesn't make sense, there's been so much scrutiny already, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Man of Steel was only so-so. BVS was a mess. Suicide Squad was awful. And Zack Snyder, nobody trusts him. And there's so much scrutiny on this, and for it to have to be a success, like, you would think anything you would release at this point would be your absolute A-game. It should be your best product.
Super polished.
So either they have not done that, or they have.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense for me for Cyborg to be so CG. I mean, it seems like that would be a perfect time for a practical effect to have that guy in a suit, an actual suit, you know.
You're going to need some.
Yeah, I mean, not...
For him to be able to move.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that much, you know, we go back to, like,
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. You read my mind, where it was all
CG. Yeah, his whole CG suit was,
And it just didn't look natural. When that scene when he was talking, standing there talking to somebody, even, like, his human face looked like a video game render.
Yeah.
It didn't look human. It looked cartoonish. And later on, scenes with them standing together with whatever in the background is behind them. I don't know if they're on Apocalypse or on a Kryptonian ship or something. You know,
it's always the same background.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It all kind of has that same alien look to it.
You can't pick out what it is. It's always just dark and tore up.
It was such horrible green screen. And to the point that it when it pulls you out of it, you know, when it's noticeable, it shouldn't be like that. You can almost see a line going around the silhouette of their bodies where they're photoshopped in. Just like looked horrible. Little
dot, was it dotted or dashed line that goes around when you do the Photoshop is still there on the picture?
Or even cut them out with kid scissors.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of my old complaints are still my new complaints, which are the lack of color. So dark. Not even in tone, but just visually where you get Aquaman who's supposed to have some orange and some green on him. And I understand, you know, toning the brightness down a little bit so that it doesn't look like Super Friends. I get that. But when they do the costume like that and then color time the film down, it just all looks brown.
Right.
You know, Aquaman all looks brown.
It's like different shades of neutral. Like a green
Batman
neutral.
All looks charcoal gray. Superman looks like, I don't know what, like a dingy blue, which really he wasn't even in this. So I'm not encouraged. I really want this to be good. And I was, what'd you think about Aquabro? Aquabro.
Aquabro. Dressed like a bat. I'm digging it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Of all the choices they could make, because these are choices, right? You make costume choices, casting choices. You know, how are we going to characterize?
Are you a fan of Aquaman in general, like,
yes,
in the comics?
I am.
See, I never was really a fan of his, and I always thought that it would take, you know, he would have more to overcome on the screen being Aquaman.
Well, the idea or the conception out there that people have about Aquaman is what they've got in pop culture and through jokes, and like even Super Friends and things like that, which is not really true. It's not really accurate. Like, if you know the character or the comics, that's really not who he is. It sort of becomes something else.
Yeah.
It's sort of like people doing that, like that old Dana Carvey over-exaggerated George Bush impression. Not gonna that. You know,
be prudent.
And you listen to it now, you're like, that really doesn't sound anything like him at all. You
know, but at the time,
those things, like, or, you know, your Jack Nicholson impressions or what, you'll find, like, if you start to do an impression of George Bush, you're going to do an impression of Dana Carvey doing George Bush. And it's sort of that kind of thing that Aquaman has. What people know or think they know about him is from the humor or the satire. Like, imagine if all you knew about Batman was the Batman 66 TV show.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all you knew.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same kind of thing. That's all people know. And he's one of the coolest and most powerful characters out there. You know, he's got a lot of power. I don't mind Jason Momoa as a choice. I get that in a lot of ways. I'm getting okay with what they've done with his costume. I'm getting there. it's a little too reminiscent to me of the Kryptonian armor. You know, after a while, it's all starting to kind of look, it's like the, you know, did the guy from Atlantis and the guy from Krypton, did they all shut? There's like a chain of stores, apparently, that they've got on Krypton and in Atlantis. Yeah. But, and even in that first round of that sizzle reel that we got, you know, where he was real intense and he's like, talk. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is going to be cool. And then in this one, we get Aquabro. What in the world? I dig it. Yeah, I'm jumping on the Batmobile. Like, what is this? That hurts me because I thought that's one I thought they were really going to get right. I don't know. I'm just not encouraged at all.
We'll have to see it. I mean, of course, we'll see it. You know.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. People say, you know, well, don't judge the movie on the trailer. Don't judge the movie on the trailer. And that has been true of their last few films. But the problem with that is the trailers have all been better than the films.
Uh-huh.
Remember when that Batman Superman trailer finally dropped?
Yeah.
And we lost our minds. Uh-huh. This is going to be epic. It's going to be the best ever.
Right.
And then the Suicide Squad. We got that trailer. This is awesome. It's going to. And they stunk. You
know? Maybe this will be the opposite. Maybe the trailer stinks and then the movie will be awesome.
I hope so.
Yeah. It's
one
time.
One thing you know you're going to get, though, already, like, it's going to be CG fest. It's going to be green screen fest.
But, I mean, it is time for a good movie to come out. I mean, they've had a bunch of nasty ones. It's time for a good one. Maybe this is it. Super Bros.
Aquabro. He digs it. So anyway, what about Spider-Man? Did you see the new Spider-Man Homecoming?
I didn't see that one.
Trailer.
No.
Not a lot revealed in there that we didn't already see. A little extra footage of the Vulture. A little bit more of Spider-Man and Tony Stark.
That comic is shot up. That first appearance of the Vulture.
Yeah. What did I buy? We went to the last con and I bought something. I don't even know what it was now. Somebody's got a movie coming out and I bought one. It wasn't really something I'd normally care about, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to get that one because somebody's got a movie coming out that's going to be real popular. I don't even remember what it was now that I bought. Anyway, watching this new Spider-Man footage in the Spider-Man trailer, I was really excited and glad to see him in Civil War. I mean, that was one of those, you know, that's getting it right and getting it right for the fans and the general audience and all that. I'm just not sure that we really need or I want another Spider-Man only movie.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not, you know, I know Tony Stark is in it or Iron Man's in it and, you know, they'll make appearances and all that. But I'm just kind of like, meh. I'm okay with this, but I'd rather see him back in Infinity War, you know, in the next, you know what I mean? I mean, I'll go see it. I'm okay. And I'm kind of like with him, like I am X-Men. I'm not a big Spider-Man guy.
I've never been a big Spider-Man fan.
I've got friends that are. But, I mean, you know, we've had, five Spider-Man movies in the last, I don't know, 10 years? Has it been longer than that?
Maybe it has. Seems like Tobey Maguire started out in the early 2000s, maybe.
I want to say 2003, but I'm just kind of pulling that out of the air.
Could be, yeah.
So, yeah, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 5 movies. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And here we got another one.
And some of those movies were so bad, too. Oh.
Yeah, I think the first two Sam Raimi ones were good. The third one was then the first one of the Amazing Spider-Mans was pretty good. That second one was pretty crazy. Well, anyway, I'll go see it. It doesn't look bad. I mean, there's nothing in there that I really got worried about. It's just...
Do you think they'll screw with the backstory?
Well, they already have.
Yeah.
With his relationship with Tony Stark, right? Who's making the suit for him and who's training him. And they really have played with that.
I just wonder if it'd be like the Fantastic Four where they really screwed with the backstory on that one.
There's not a lot of room to mess with that one. You know, you bit by the radioactive spider and there you go. And that's kind of seems like it's already established, although we didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't really get that whole. And that's the other thing, too. Are we going to get all that in this one? Will we get Surely we'll just get like flashbacks or something, but hopefully. Still kind of like killing Bruce Wayne's parents. We're going to have at least, we're going to have at least a few seconds of him getting bitten by a radioactive spider. And okay, all right. We know.
Yeah.
Even if you don't really know about Spider-Man, you know, you kind of have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it in 5 movies now.
Yeah.
Do we need to see it? And that's one of the things that we liked about Civil War was he was able to jump in.
Right.
We know Spider-Man. We know him. We don't just, let's go. So that's why I say, do we need another solo Spider-Man film? And I'm okay. Michael Keaton as Vulture. That's great. Inspired casting and all that. Although I'm a little put off again by the costume. Everything's mechanized. Everything, you know, looks like a robot and armor. Everything's armor. And does it? And they go, well, but if he really looked like, you know, the Vulture in the comics, it would look silly. And I'm like, would it though?
It's organic. I mean,
have we not seen with Captain America and Batman's outfit in the newest movies? It can be done.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be armor. It's one of the things too I don't like about this whole Justice League thing. Everybody's in armor.
Mm-hmm.
Even Flash, he's got armor. Everybody's wearing armor. And it just, I'm okay if it's done right.
And why would Flash even need armor?
I don't know. Protect him from the Speed Force or whatever. Maybe they'll explain some of that. Maybe they won't. It does look, it looks like his costume in Injustice in the video game. There you go again.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a lot of inspiration from the video games. And
I don't know. It seems like the organics of the comic book characters are gone now. It used to be that way. It used to be like...
And they're like, well, it'll look silly. You can't have a man run around in tights. And you can't... And it's like, I'm not coming to this for realism. They keep wanting to do... You know, we need to... It needs to be grounded.
Yeah.
It needs to be grounded in reality. I'm not coming to this for reality. That misses the entire point. You know, Christopher Nolan with his Batman movies, he was able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, you get...
And even had a kind of a little illusion in the end that... You know, when Batman's costume was getting too big and bulky, and he was like, you know, this something's got to change, you know.
You want to be able to turn your head.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. But, you know, you still had the armor plating and things. But the way he did it, you know, he did it economically enough that, you know, it didn't feel like he was walking around like Iron Man. But still, you got that. It's still armor. It's still, you know, at a certain point, it just didn't look like Batman anymore. I don't know. All right. On to something else. have you watched Kong Skull Island?
I watched about an hour of it and I couldn't get further than that.
Interesting. Interesting. I sat down a couple of weeks ago to watch it. I made it 34 minutes. You made it longer than I did. Now, I have since, a couple of days ago, I went back and kind of soldiered through the rest of it. You know, I was afraid I'd miss something, but I don't know what I thought I was going to
do. No, I'm afraid not.
Interesting. So we had and we have not talked about this before we sat down right now, so we had a similar experience. Yeah. Tell me your experience with Kong Skull Island. I want to see how closely it mirrors mine.
It was kind of boring, but I mean, it had some exciting parts in it, but the exciting parts were just not enough to carry it. And then the whole character was just screwy. Like, Kong was supposed to be the protector, and then, you know, you had two rival factions on the island. It just got confusing for me, and it was enough.
I made it 34 minutes, and here were my observations. First, going in, immediately within the first few minutes, you've got every trope and every cliche from every other movie. Similar type movie that has come before.
From the 60s and 70s.
Lots of nods, or maybe just plain out borrows or steals from other movies that were much better than this one, and they weren't borrowed from very well.
Yeah.
You know, John Goodman goes to see the politicians, and, well, the last time we gave you money for your expeditions, but this one we're on the verge of something, and it's so... That whole scene again, the briefings in the rooms with the soldiers and pilots, with the guy with the pointer, we get all that. What else? We got the girl the plucky photojournalist,
yes,
who's put out to be with all these men, who has scene after scene of her looking with shock over the top of her camera while her hair blows.
Ultra liberal, super liberal.
Yeah, yeah, she's just as good as can do anything these men can do. And
yeah,
and what else? We got to go find the rogue guy. We got to find the Han Solo, uh-huh, right, that can get us where we need to get. And of course, conveniently, we show up right in time to watch him have a bar fight.
Yeah,
and John John Goodman, who is absolutely phoning this in. I mean, he looked bored half the time.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, I've seen John Goodman do some amazing roles in his life, and this was just like
it was like he didn't even care.
No.
He really did not. I mean, you can just smell
cash
it on
the paycheck. And
if you've ever seen any Vietnam era war movie, you've got seen. And what gets me is they didn't do this once or twice. They did it, I don't know how many times. Here come the helicopters flying over the jungle canopy with, you know what, Creedence Clearwater Revival or
the whole soundtrack from Forrest Gump.
All along the watchtower, you know, let's, ooh, it's a helicopter in Vietnam. Yeah. We got to have All Along the Watchtower or
Fortunate Son,
right? You're right there with me.
Yeah.
And what got me was like, they didn't do that once. They did it like three, four, five times. So then they get on the ship and they're going to fly in on these helicopters. They're going to fly over to the jungle. And there's like, now, how many people in this party would you say there are? 15?
More.
Maybe 20?
20. Yeah, I'd say more than that.
And 15 or 20 people somehow flew off this ship to the island in like 30 helicopters.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a sequence of about, 10 minutes where Kong is slapping helicopters out of the sky. And it goes on and on and on. Like 30 helicopters, and still not the ones that our characters are in.
Yeah.
So they come at him.
Maybe the good actors were in the helicopters. He knocked
now
down.
Listen, check this out. You're in a helicopter, and I don't know how high helicopters fly. What would you guess? A couple hundred feet, hundred yards.
Yeah.
You know, above the jungle canopy, right?
Uh-huh.
A whole army, literally, I guess, of helicopters, 30 of them, or however many they had, and get this. King Kong, who's the size of, a skyscraper,
mm-hmm,
sneaks up on him. he sneaks up on him in the middle of the jungle. You're flying in a helicopter. It's like, imagine flying across, you know, a desertscape or the mountains,
mm-hmm,
and there's like the Empire State Building standing there, and like his hand just comes up out of nowhere, like, whew.
Oh, where'd that come from?
What is he hiding behind?
The other big monster that's there, you know, he's got to hide behind it.
He's hiding behind something, and he's able to swat three or four of them before they ever see him. Well, so then they do see him. And then one of them, you know, they start shooting at him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he swats them down. And another starts shooting at him. He swats him down. So what do? They turn and fly away immediately, of course. No!
They keep going.
They fly closer. And the more he keeps swatting helicopters down, and I'm like, at any point in time, they could have flown the other way.
Let's land somewhere else.
So 15 people take off in apparently 30 helicopters. I mean, how many? I need to go back and watch it. I want to count how many helicopters.
What hit me was that scene where he's in the water and the octopus comes up and gets him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing I could think of when I saw that was like those commercials they have for art school where the kids show what they've done for the semester, you know,
mm-hmm,
that octopus coming up. Because it's all CGI and it's all horrible CGI.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad.
Full of the worst tropes and cliches and dialogue. Just horrible, 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 horrible. And a lot of good actors really wasted in this. Really wasted in this.
Well, I mean, a lot of them seemed like they just weren't into it either. You know, I mean, it wasn't even just John Goodman. The other ones just...
we got to get this one out to set up a franchise.
Right. So, you know, Kong Skull Island 2.
Kong, I think we're supposed to get a crossover with Godzilla and all that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's going to be horrible.
You think so? I mean, it could be done well. See, that's why they made him so much bigger in this movie.
Well, that's right? Because
King Kong normally is not, his own, is not that big. But see, they've made him bigger because they're going to match him against Godzilla.
Godzilla movie was so bad, though.
Yeah, it had potential. It was kind of boring.
Yeah.
It took a while for anything to happen. Yeah. I wasn't real impressed with that.
They need to go back to the old school ways where they had the little, you know, it was actually Japanese and the voiceover and dubbed.
Gojira.
I don't know. So anyway, if you want to watch at your own risk. Yeah. And that's, yeah, they've made him larger. And you notice he's not as gorilla-like in form. He's more
ape-like.
He's more humanoid,
right?
In the way, like in Peter Jackson's King Kong, he was basically a big gorilla.
Yeah.
Right. In this one, you notice his shape and the way he moves and stuff is more humanoid.
I guess I didn't notice that.
Yeah. His shape and his form is that of a man more than a gorilla. Hmm. Like he doesn't walk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's another thing they kind of did differently to set him apart, to make him different. You know, that Kong really is more than just a big gorilla.
Right.
But in Peter Jackson's movie, that's really all he was. Hmm. So, and they've made him bigger because eventually when they go into this, when they match him up with Godzilla, you know, to make the size comparable. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Godzilla is three times the size.
The original one still stands true? You think the original the original King Kong, you think it's still relevant today?
What do you mean?
Like, it's still watchable. I still enjoy it when I see it.
It's a good time capsule. Probably a pretty good marvel of filmmaking for its time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think like if a kid were to stumble across it and watch it nowadays, you would be into it.
I put in my digital movie locker the other day, I've not gone back and watched it, but the King Kong from 76, Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange, remembered it when I was a kid. You know, I really liked it. I watched it a bunch when I was a kid, and I'm interested to go back now and see if it holds up. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure, you know, what you have at the time, the effects and stuff looked good at the time.
Yeah, I've noticed that watching movies from the 70s in the 80s was a whole lot different than watching movies in the 70s from the 70s now. You know, in the 80s, it just seemed like, oh, that's so cool. And now it's like, eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, they occupy a different place to, you know, your 70s films. Now you got, you know, your grindhouse and your they have a classic look to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, 30 millimeter, whatever they shot on mostly back then? So you kind of know that feel and that look.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it seems a world of difference between the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about another one of your favorite TV shows. This Is Us.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. It's now, we've closed the books on.
This season is through.
We've closed the books on season one, and I thought we would kick around today the great mystery of who killed Jack, or how did Jack die?
I don't know, because the daughter said it was her fault because she sent him over there.
So let's set this up, and I'm sure, I can't imagine most folks listening aren't into this show. As far as I know, everybody I know was all about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it. I watched the first season through, thought it was okay. I don't know that it's worthy of all the praise that it's getting, but I won't say it's bad. It's not bad. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Goes in for the emotional kill a little too early and a little too often, as I said. Kind of manipulative,
yeah,
but that's okay. So Jack is the father of the three main characters, the big three, as they call themselves, or as the parents call them. And we know, so this is not really a spoiler, because we know pretty much from the outset that Jack has died at some point. Really, the only portion of there's still a lot of their story that's left untold. The story is told in a circular fashion. We get bits and pieces of things that have happened before to fill in now. And if you think about it, really the only period of time that we have not been in yet, which is a lot of time, but is from the time Jack died up until present day when we joined them. We haven't seen anything really from that window.
No.
So we know early on that Jack, their father, has died. And it looked like a lot of folks were kind of upset because it looked like they were teasing us there toward the end of the season. We were going to get a little information, and we didn't. They went out on us, and we don't know how Jack died. And that's the big mystery. And the internet's having a lot of fun with this.
Mm-hmm. Are they? I haven't looked.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got some theories for
you. Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. I was going to ask you maybe for your theory, but let's hang on for a minute and let's see.
Well, what would have been bad, though? Because I was thinking they were setting up for him to be a drinking and driving thing.
Yes.
Reckon.
That was they did that in, I don't know if it was the second, if it was the penultimate episode or if it was three episodes from the end. She said it was her fault because she, you know, wanted him to make up with mom and he was out drinking. And they kind of, they gave us a red herring.
Yeah.
You know, they made you think that.
Because they showed him in the car with all the beer cans all
right,
over the front seat.
Right,
and,
right, right.
You know.
Well, that gets into our first theory. Mm-hmm. Now, they faked us out on that because a lot of us did. And I did. I thought, okay, there, you know, he's going to get in a drunk driving accident or
Wouldn't
something.
Wouldn't that be horrible, though? Like, the of all the ways to go. Have your dad die in a drunk driving accident on the show, you know?
No, there's some others on here that are...
Oh, the worst?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, theory number one, Jack's alcoholism. Now, he has been shown to be quite the drinker. But Jack did not die while driving drunk. His drinking problem still, though, could send him into a downward spiral. Now, they faked us out on the driving, but let's say it could still be alcohol related. He's been there before. We saw Jack slip into alcoholic tendencies when the kids were young. Rebecca's kicking him out could cause Jack to wobble without support. That's right, because they separated at the end of the season.
He was going to stay with Miguel.
Right. So, yeah, he's out on his own. He's vulnerable, especially when you have a problem like that. In the modern day timeline, Jack's daughter Kate reveals to fiance Toby that she blames herself for her father's death. We saw that it was her fault. That's why she's been reluctant to talk about it. And every time he comes at her to talk about it, I'm thinking, all right, now maybe we're going to get it. And she shuts it down every time.
Well, it's got to be quick, too, because it showed the funeral in one of the episodes, and the kids were like about the same age that they're at, you know, now in the flashbacks.
No, they were teenagers.
Yeah, but I mean, in the flashbacks right now, they're teenagers, kind of in that.
You lost me.
They're flashing back the time period around when Jack takes off drinking.
Oh,
they're about
the
same age as they were in that funeral.
It's close enough that they could still fake us out with that.
Yeah.
Now remember that they were teenagers because that comes into play on some of the other theories.
Oh.
Teenage Kate was the one who encouraged her dad to go to Rebecca's gig and make right with her that night. So maybe she feels responsible for Jack and Rebecca's big fight and Jack's inevitable downfall with booze. So again, we got the fake out with the driving, but this one theory suggests that maybe because of his continued drinking that there's something. Problem is him being a relatively young, healthy man. You know, how much could he drink to go down that fast, too?
Yeah, we've all seen Leaving Las Vegas. That's a hard road to go.
Yeah, even when you're intent on doing it, you know. It still does take a little bit of time. But all right, now, here's an interesting one. You're going to like this one. This one's a lot of fun.
Oh.
This is almost like a completely different TV show. All right, Miguel, his friend, who now we see in present day, has married
his wife.
Right? How about Miguel murdered Jack?
Oh, season two takes a dark turn.
You're right. Miguel murdered Jack to get with Rebecca.
Oh.
The most insane theory out there posts a ghastly turn. In modern day, we know that Rebecca is married to Jack's best friend, Miguel. Did he have eyes for Rebecca all along? The imaginative say yes and think Miguel murders Jack to get him out of the way. This just like turns into a completely different show.
Because
right?
then the second season is them trying to prove that Miguel did it. And
it becomes a courtroom drama.
Yeah. No, that's season three. Second season is they got to
When the evidence comes to light.
Yeah.
The kids are on the case investigating.
Right.
And then, okay. Some think Rebecca, frustrated with Jack at how their marriage might be dissolving, becomes closer to Miguel in the past and colludes to kill her husband. Rebecca, being on it? I have a hard time seeing that.
Yeah, I don't see that.
See, Miguel, it does sound crazy, but it's only plausible because we don't know Miguel that well yet.
And, you know, he's kind of one of those unlikable characters just from the setup.
Sort of. But when he has his moments, when he's allowed to sit and talk, like he gave a speech to one of the kids that was really, really touching. When he talks, is it Kevin? He's the actor brother.
Yeah.
When he was telling him how much he really did care for him and how he was like his dad, they had a real touching moment. So, but I don't feel like we know him real well just yet. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why this flies. But I can't see Rebecca colluding on murder. But we didn't figure out she can keep a secret.
Yeah, right? That's so true. She
maybe.
Knew Randall's dad for a long time.
But what about this one? What if no one knows he did it? When Mandy Moore was asked, the actress that plays...
Rebecca.
Rebecca. She was asked about this in an interview. She said, oh my God, no way. People are bananas. That's crazy. So, to some, that's enough to say the theory is officially debunked.
But I don't. They probably wouldn't even have told the actors what happened in season two yet. You know what I mean?
How's that?
I mean, the actors probably don't even know what happens in season two yet. How the dad dies. I mean, they probably don't know.
Oh, yeah. They would have already filmed it.
You think?
Yeah. They either are or have. They've had their scripts. Who's Ben? I've already been away from the show long enough. Which character is Ben?
Ben.
Why do I have Ben on here? Okay. Well, anyway, I had another theory about Ben killing Jack. Now I don't even remember who Ben is.
Is Ben the guy that went with him to the card game that night, or?
No, Ben. Is Ben the one that was in the band? With Rebecca?
Maybe that was.
I just made a note on my paper that said an alternate theory was Ben kills Jack. I don't know. I don't remember who Ben is. All right. Well, here's another one. This one's even darker, almost sort of. Oh. I don't know. Maybe Jack committed suicide.
Oh, I don't see him doing that.
That's the way a lot of people are using to kind of shoot this one down. Seemed plausible early on. When Toby tells Kate the story of his own suicide attempt. Remember how she reacted to that?
Mm-hmm.
He got real serious. But most fans like you and probably like me agree that Jack committing suicide is pretty well out of character.
Yeah.
So here's another one. Jack, and a lot of these draw from clues based on dialogue, too. Like we see the conversations about Toby killing himself or wanting to and how they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How they react. So this is another one of those two where people were kind of paying attention to dialogue and seeing, getting cues from dialogue.
Right.
Jack died in a plane crash.
Ooh.
Bits of reflection offered up by the triplets suggest Jack may have died in a plane crash.
Maybe he comes back then. Maybe he didn't actually die in the plane crash.
Oh, that could be. Like yeah. That's some kind of turn from Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
When Kate has to fly from L.A. to New York, she freaks out and is anxious the whole flight. Remember that? Yeah. Kevin said that after his dad died, remember what he and his dad did? They build those model airplanes.
Oh.
Right? And remember what he tells the girlfriend after when his dad died? He got rid of all his airplanes.
Hmm.
Right? Now,
wouldn't that be cool? You see the cameo of the actor, like, in his old age makeup, like, kind of peeking out behind a tree or whatever, looking at the kids, you know, like he's still around.
Jack is alive. Yeah. That could be a Who Shot JR moment, yeah. Right, for 2017. Yeah, I would go with it. A lot of people would think that was silly. So, anyway, all that, you know, with Kate freaking out on the airplane, Kevin having a problem with the model airplanes and getting rid of them, you know. Coincidence, but it would also be it's one reason, you know, people mm-hmm. die young. Jack died alone in episode 16, the one where they went to Memphis. Randall, the mm-hmm. adopted son of Jack and Rebecca, takes his dying biological father, William, mm-hmm. on a road trip to Memphis,
right,
which is his hometown. Now, at the end of that episode, you kind of have to stay with me on this. Another one of those dialogue cues. William falls ill, very ill, because he's got cancer. They take him to the hospital, and as William starts to fade, Randall tells the nurses that someone must be in the room to make sure that his dad, quote, doesn't die when nobody's looking.
Huh.
Remember that line? When he's yeah. Because they were like, you know, you don't have to stay in here. You can wait out there. And he said something about he didn't want him to die while nobody was looking. Now, that doesn't explain exactly how Jack might have died, but Randall's telling command could tie into some other theories. Okay, the poker players from the season finale may have killed Jack.
Oh.
Remember the card game they went to?
Uh-huh.
They flash back to the 70s on the night when Jack and Rebecca met. We see a group of sketchy poker players that are beating up Jack after he won a lot of money at the table. And the fight ends with a threat. If he ever pulls something like that again, they would kill him.
That was kind of sketchy what he did, though. He went in and played one hand, won all the pot, and then left.
Yeah, that's sort of bad form.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really wrong with it or against the rules, but it's bad etiquette. Yeah, mm-hmm. to win one big hand and then split. There's kind of a gentleman's understanding that you give a fair opportunity for someone to win their money back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's obvious there, though. He didn't. He was in over his head and got lucky, and, you know. So, but the problem with this is, you know, do those people that never knew him, that saw him that one night in that card game that roughed him up after, would they have waited for 20 years to pass?
Yeah.
Before coming know who back the guy and killing him again? Yeah. The time differential, the 20 years, are just, you know, roughly. Now, this one has gotten a lot of attention, this particular theory, and some people are convinced of it, but I don't see a way that it can be true and all because of something we talked about earlier. We know at some point the family went from Pittsburgh mm-hmm. to New York, right? When Jack and Rebecca are raising the kids in Pittsburgh, but mm-hmm. now we all see that we're all in New York. So somewhere in the family timeline, we went from one to the other. So some have postulated that maybe Jack was a victim of the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks.
Huh.
But here's the problem with that. See, it sounds good, right?
Well, I'm trying to think because they're about my age, so they put them like 20, 21 when the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. The kids were born in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
We get that from the show. So that would make... And they'd be 21 in 2001, but mm-hmm. we already know they were teenagers. So the math doesn't add up for that one. Let me ask you this, though, because I saw a lot of people, when that theory came up, that were kind of getting mad that they... thinking that they might have... made a story out of this, like people were, I don't know, they thought it was like a cheap way to go, or, well, I mean, the whole show's emotionally cheap.
Yeah,
but, you know,
it hits the low blow every chance it gets.
Do you see any problems with that, or using that as part of the storyline?
I mean, you wouldn't see, like, MASH was a whole show built around the Korean War. You wouldn't have a whole, you know,
I don't know. I think some people thought it was easy or lazy or maybe offensive. I don't know.
Hmm.
Okay, so here's another one. Again, maybe with the dialogue and story cues. Maybe Jack had a heart condition.
Hmm.
This one centers around Kate and how she dealt with boyfriend Toby. Toby had some kind of heart issue. He kept calling it a heart attack, but that's not really what it was.
Yeah.
We first discovered that Jack had passed away when Kate showed Toby the urn in her living room with Jack's ashes in it. Remember that? That's that's when we first know that Jack, in the show, when we first learned that Jack is dead. Because she says, oh, here's my father, and he's in the urn.
I can't remember if they introduced Miguel as... you know, their mom's husband before that or after that?
It's after.
Is it after?
Yeah, because it was after we knew Jack was dead. Well, was it? And, you know, what I haven't seen anybody point out, Rebecca at one point befriends the black lady at the swimming pool, right? And then she becomes friends and Randall goes to play with her kids, right?
Right.
There's a shot, and it's in that same episode, like where Miguel, we see him come in. Oh, he's married to Rebecca. There's a shot of a picture with Jack and that woman and some kids.
Oh, really?
I've not seen anybody else mention it. Huh. I don't know if people caught it or not. I caught it. I was like, no, I keep waiting to read in a story somewhere. We'll go, well, we need to find out that maybe I made it up, but I swear.
I have to go back and watch it.
Do it. I hate for you to go sit through all those episodes again, but you'll see it. Uh-huh. There's a picture sitting on the mantle with Jack and that black lady and her kids and stuff. People going to think I'm crazy. Maybe some. If you saw it, if you're listening and you saw it, somebody give me an amen. And go,
both of you.
screenshot it. Yeah. So we'll know. Anyway, where were we? So we first discovered Jack passed away. Kate showed Toby the urn. And then she freaked out when Toby, remember, he didn't want to get surgery.
Uh-huh.
For his heart condition. So they were thinking maybe that could be a hint about Jack. Like, no, you got to get your, you know, get your heart fixed or whatever. This one is strange. I don't know where people are coming up with this one, but another theory, Jack may have met his demise in a house fire.
Huh.
Trying to save Miguel. According to this theory, this would explain why Miguel's family is never mentioned on the present day episodes.
Well, they got divorced.
Yeah. I know, but, you know, there's really no talk of him either, so I don't know. It could be nothing.
Yeah.
He and Rebecca became extremely close. You know, what if, you know, like if his family, if they died, if Jack died in a house fire, you know, it's a tragedy that they would share together. So, now, Kevin has Jack's necklace, the one that Jack was wearing in every scene. So that's one that kind of shoots the theory down because it's unlikely that he would not have had it on in the
Once
fire.
He gave it to Kevin before he.
Yeah. And that also kind of shows why the plane crash theory mm-hmm. is probably unlikely too.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have recovered the necklace, you know.
Maybe.
So I don't know.
If they did recover it, would you wear it?
Well, I'm not a jewelry person anyway.
But I mean, like, if it was your dad's and he died in a plane crash and they gave it to you.
I wouldn't really have a problem with it. Not the affect of wearing it. I mean, I wouldn't wear it because I don't wear jewelry anyway.
I don't know. If it was around him when he died, I'd be kind of freaky about that.
That ain't no bigs. Not for me. Why is that, though?
I don't know.
Why does that bug you?
My mom, you know, she's got all this fancy jewelry and stuff, and she's always talking about leaving it to the girls. And I'm like, I don't know if they'd want it after. I'm sure they will. I'm sure it's just me.
Yeah. That's what you do. You die and you leave stuff for other people.
Yeah.
I misunderstood. I thought you were just getting especially weirded about it if it was like a house fire or a plane crash or something.
Well, yeah, if it was something
traumatic.
Like evil that happened. You know what I mean?
Evil.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they were strangled with it,
Maybe that's the clue. That's the one clue that's left. And they find out that Miguel strangled him with a necklace.
In the study.
His epithelials are on it from 20 years ago.
In the study with a lead pipe. Yeah. How about a work accident?
Oh.
The Pearson patriarch is seen working as a construction foreman, which there's obvious risks at a construction site, right? There were assumptions that Jack may have maybe fallen to his death or something like that. Now, that seems plausible until you think about, though, we only see that for a period because later Jack's working at a desk.
Right.
You know, so unless he somehow went back to working. But that seems a circuitous route for them to then have to take him back to work in construction.
Yeah, I think he's an architect
just
now.
Just to kill him off. Yeah. Some have suggested dementia or Alzheimer's. And this is interesting because it's one of those things like you don't really pick up on until somebody kind of points it out. And you're like, oh, yeah. He was seen throughout the show having an increasing forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
In the episode about the best washing machine in the world, he forgot dinner and Kevin's football jersey number. He forgot to tell Rebecca about the big deal that he was closing. He forgot to kiss her goodbye, even though making out is clearly something that they make a priority, right? You know? He says he has headache. He's exhausted from watching a football game. So,
maybe he has an aneurysm and his head pops open one day.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily do the forgetfulness or memory loss.
The headache and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know enough about
it. It's like a TV trope. Oh, well, I'm having these things. I'm a little forgetful. I'm just going to go to the doctor and get checked out. And they go and he's got a huge tumor in his.
Yeah. Well, that gets into this one, then. Maybe you're more like this, cancer.
Yeah.
Still, that one's kind of unlikely. When William, Randall's biological father, had cancer, when William came into Randall's life with the terminal diagnosis, Randall doesn't seem to have a lot of information, right? You remember, you seem like looking up on the internet and learning all about it, getting internet research. Now,
didn't his wife tell William at one time that, you know, Randall is going to stay with you until, you know, he's going to make it his priority over everything else to stay with you until you die.
Right. Well, what I'm getting at with that is if he had already been through this with Jack.
Yeah, he would know about it.
Right. It's apparent through watching Randall that this is a new experience. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So that kind of tends to lead us toward, you know, that he's not gone through that with Jack. And he's, you know, exploring alternative therapies, chemotherapies, and stuff that he may not have been as eager about, you know. Mm-hmm. So instead, though, it's Beth who lost her dad to cancer because she you can tell she talks the lingo, you know, chemo boost.
Yeah.
And she's all about helpful marijuana and all that kind of stuff. You know, so Beth, Randall's wife, has kind of been through it. She seems knowledgeable, but Randall doesn't. You know, he's all new to it, and he's researching and stuff. So that tends to kind of shoot down the cancer. And to be honest with you, you know, you talk about, like, lazy or emotionally cheap. I mean, cancer just seems like an easy, cheap way to go to me. I think, and I'll be curious to hear your opinions, I'm not really sure that any of these we've mentioned, and these are the best ones out there, that any of these are really strong. You know, there's none of them that just jump out and go, boy, that seems really likely.
Well, I wonder if, like, you'll have one episode, the first episode next season, which will be like a keystone where you get all the information you need.
I don't know, because that's what we want. Yeah. We want the answers, but it's becoming more like, it's like trying to watch Lost. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get, it just keeps kind of folding back over on itself.
I hate that show.
I'll say this, though. I think whatever it's going to be is going to be something sudden, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a protracted illness.
Yeah. I don't think they'll have a chance to say goodbye to him.
Right. Yeah. You know. Yeah. No cancer or Alzheimer's or. And two,
aliens. What was aliens? Gosh, aliens. That'd be awesome. Mm.
What would that look like? They just abduct him? Or aliens don't generally just kill people, though, do they?
I don't know.
They
like abduct them. The cows, they mutilate the cows.
They mutilate cows. Yeah. They mutilate people. So I tend to think whatever it is, it will be something sudden. And two, if you think about things like cancer or Alzheimer's or even a work accident, you know, when what's-her-face Kate says, you know, it's my fault my dad is dead. Even though it's probably not really her fault, she right. feels guilty. But you kind of have to come back to look at this and go, what? How could one reasonably assume that, you know, like the cancer was her fault, or mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's going to be sudden, and it's going to be some weird twist of fate that someone found himself in this place
yeah.
at this time, doing whatever he's doing that wouldn't have been if he would have. If he'd have gone this way or that way, or one of those strange twists of fate. So, I don't know. You have any thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be something sudden. Yeah. I was kind of leaning towards him getting into an accident or something.
And that could still happen, just because we got faked out once. I mean, it doesn't...
I don't think it'd be a drunk driving accident, though, this time, if it was an accident.
Yeah. Don't you feel, again, when we go into the, you know, what's... emotionally cheap or lazy. Don't you kind of feel like the car crash, though, is kind of that way, too?
Yeah.
It's funny. Last time we were in here and we were talking about this show, and I referenced 30-something, you know, like Ken Olin and Timothy Busfield, who are on that show, are working on this show. Yeah. And I can't remember because it's been 30 years, but I do remember there was a real big moment in that series when everybody, you know, everybody watched it and everybody talked about it, and somebody got killed in a car crash. Mm. That was like a big moment in that, you know, they killed off a major character and everybody was upset. Mm. So that seems a little cliche, don't you think?
Yeah.
Kind of like with the cancer. Oh, he got cancer. You know, it just seems like kind of an easy way to go. I mean, not that you have to be overly clever with it. I don't know. How would you do it if you were writing season two and were...
Well, I mean, it has to be something sudden. And it depends on what direction you want to go with it. If you want to go dark, then yeah, Miguel would be the prime suspect
yeah,
for it.
I don't. I mean, don't we kind of recognize it's probably... going down that road.
If you're going down...
I mean, if you were writing it, I mean...
It has to be something like a heart attack or, you know, just something that would be... against it, you know, I would think heart attack, brain tumor, you know, something unseen, you know, that just came out of nowhere. You don't have time to prepare for.
I would tend to think, or if I were writing it, so that it didn't seem, you know, lazy or cliche, like a car accident or cancer, or something as grandiose and tacky as like September 11th or something. I'm thinking more like he's by himself. Like, I can see him staying at Miguel's place or doing something and like a household kind of accident. Does that make sense?
Do you think they make
falling
him
off
like,
a ladder, cleaning the gutters, or...
Well, do you think because they built him up so far in the episodes as being like, you know, on this pedestal, you think they make him like save somebody and sacrifice himself or...
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Push somebody out of the way of a bus and get hit by it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the problems, too, when they're...
Maybe Kate was walking across the street. He saw the car coming at her, pushed her out of the way, car hit him.
Huh. Maybe he slapped a cheeseburger out of her hand. I had to go there.
Oh,
so.
Gosh.
And that's one of the things, too, when they try to set us up with, like, his drinking or even when he... It's one of the things that, that doesn't quite ring true. Even when he when they want us to watch him behave badly, it just doesn't ring true because they've made him out to be such a saint.
Yeah,
he's been so perfect for so long since the beginning. Mm-hmm. Even when he shows up at the club drunk and punching the guy, it's still they don't sell it all the way for me.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
I could see, you know, but in his any guy would have done that in that position. I think you come into a club, had too much to drink. Somebody mentions that this guy has done something to your wife.
Yeah,
you've already got these preconceived notions about him anyway. I could see it happening. I mean, somebody that's even non-violent or whatever, I could still see him.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying people don't do it, but this guy, they've just built up to be so perfect. You know, even when they get separated and he leaves, he's just perfect. I don't know. Although I'll say that it was in that last episode, or maybe in that last one, or episode before the last one. There's a scene that goes on for a couple of minutes where they argue, and man, is it that hits deep.
Yeah.
And I realized as I'm watching them go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, the camera never cuts. It circles them and it zooms in. And it stays on them, and you just don't get a break from it. And, and it's so – that makes it so authentic, and it was so real. The only time I remembered feeling this way before, and I'm trying to remember which season it was at the either the end of season 3 or the end of season 4, and I don't remember which one, of The Sopranos, when Carmela and Tony finally have it out. And there's goes on for several minutes, and there's a scene where – they argue and fight and things just dissolve and fall apart. And it is, it's just one of the most heart-wrenching. It's difficult to watch. You feel like it. I remember the first time I watched that, I felt like I should get up and leave the room quietly. Like, you know what I mean?
Like you're invading their privacy. Yeah.
It was so raw. And I felt that way again watching this scene, watching them argue, and my eyes being fixed on it for a couple of minutes, I realized whoever's directing this, Ken Olin or whoever, that they never cut and didn't pull the camera away. They just kept it there.
Just hammered it on.
And at one point it was even circling them. And you just didn't get away from it.
Yeah, like couldn't breathe almost through the.
Well, you know, because then what you do is you remove any dramatic flair from the camera work. It's just kind of like, this is raw and it hurts and you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
And so I give them points for that. That was a heavy duty scene and so well done, because, you know, by the time you're a couple of minutes in it, you forget you're watching actors act.
Yeah. You think it's somebody's life that you're just peeking into.
But that's what that made me think of. Sopranos fans will remember that. And it's at the end of one of those seasons, and I don't remember if it's 3 or 4, when they finally have it out. But, man, it's so painful to watch, and it hurts so much watching people fight like that anyway. So I guess it brings up if you've ever, you know, you've experienced things like that, and you feel it when you're watching it like that and watching other people do it. So I don't know. I tried to find when season 2 was going to come back on. I haven't found a date.
Do you think it'll be next year?
It'll be in the fall, I would think.
Be in the fall?
That's the way TV used to work. You know, reruns during the summer and then start again during the fall. I don't know the model for the way TV is now is so crazy and all bets are off.
So. It's such a short season. I think there's only like 18 episodes, wasn't there?
If there were that many. I was thinking maybe even been fewer. But no, maybe you're right. I think you're right.
It seems like they used to have like 25, 26 episodes a season before, but maybe I'm wrong.
It depends on the show.
Yeah.
It depends on the show. So, okay. All right. Well, that's enough for today. Lots of TV talk. I hope if you're not interested in This Is Us, you should really. Which is funny, if somebody had played this for me like a couple of months ago, I could have cared less. I turned it off. Now I'm like, ooh, yeah, I want to hear all the theories.
Yeah.
So. And interested to hear anybody else's theories, if anybody else out there has any. We need to take a pool on it.
Yeah.
Get us a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And drop some taking odds on it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the over-under on Miguel?
And it'll be something. Maybe it'll be something we never saw coming. It'll be something out of left field.
Yeah.
I'm
sure they got some book on it in Vegas somewhere.
Probably. I was about to say a website, but I don't want to. They don't pay us, so. I just about gave somebody a free plug. I was going to go, oh, yeah, you can go to. Don't go there. Don't give them. Now, if they wanted to give me some money, wouldn't that be funny?
Have you heard the pastor with this podcast?
Oh, yeah, I heard that gambling website is a sponsor.
Sponsored by Card Sharks.
Yeah, them and Maker's Mark Whiskey.
Swisher Sweets.
No. All right. Okay. Well, that's enough for today. We'll catch up with you again in another week or two with some more nonsense. Until then, I am Pastor Dave with Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.